take our Bibles and let's go over to the book of Romans, chapter number 9. And I'll try to be brief tonight. We're supposed to have choir practice. I don't know if we have enough choir members here to practice or not. I'll leave that up to Brother Fisher and Miss Sarah to kind of decide what they want to do there. We'd like to get that going again. It was a blessing when the choir started singing. And we got one or two songs out of them, and then, you know, all the Christmas stuff came up and practice and all that. So I'm looking forward to them getting started again back on it and excited about what the Lord's doing. I do want to encourage y'all. I do not have the January calendar, and I apologize. My entire life, computer-related life, and everything I have for the church is on a hard drive. And I have a backup hard drive that I haven't backed up in like 6 months. And the one that I have won't turn on. And everything I have that I do for the church is on there. So, Brother Robinson is, I think he's a genius on that stuff. So, I've asked him to help me. And his family has been sick with the flu. They got the, you know, everybody went through it during the holidays and they dodged it. And now they have it. And it's going through them one at a time. You know, it's like, can you give everybody one time and get it over with? But they're still dealing with that sickness. Yes, sir. Funny. Actually, haven't given it to him yet. It's in my truck. He ordered something that he said he can take it apart and he can do something, and I don't know. He was trying to tell me how to do it, and I said, brother, if I take this thing apart, I'll never get it back together. I'm nowhere near great or good, even really good at it, but I dabble with computer websites and stuff like that. But when it comes to actually breaking down the electronic components, I'm out. I'll experiment, but not with that. And so, Lord willing, he's going to help me get that thing back up and running. But that's why we don't have a January calendar. So we've been kind of limping through the month here. But I did, you know, get a bunch of those printed up. They're on the back table. This is the year in review thing. And so you can see what dates we have things coming up. And if there's a cost involved with it, you'll kind of have an idea of what that is. And encourage you to start saving up so when it gets here, we're not shocked about it. We can be prepared for that. So, but some of the dates for this month are the ASL training, the visitation, soul winning, and also the work day we're going to do on the 20th. All right, Romans chapter number 9. And so what we're doing here, we're going through the dispensations. And again, I keep giving kind of a commercial for it, but when we finish with this part of rightly dividing going through here, I'm going to get started back on the family and looking at it again. I'm going to start over what I had started a year or so ago and go through there again. Romans chapter number 9, and the dispensation that we're on now, and so just kind of a recap, there's different time periods in which God has dealt different economies throughout the Bible. So when you're reading through your Bible and you're back in Genesis 1 and you're reading through there, there might be things differently that God told them that he hasn't told us and vice versa. And so that's we're kind of looking at that breakdown throughout the Bible. And you got the dispensation of innocence, and that's in the Garden of Eden when they didn't know right from wrong. They did not have the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't there until they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we went through there, and we're in the fifth one now that we're talking about. That's the dispensation of the law. Something changes in the Bible here. There's a distinct change. God is giving them a law. Up until this point, they had the example of the garden. They had a conscience that God gave them. Whenever they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God gave them a conscience. And that conscience was to guide them. We read some verses on that. And then in the third dispensation or time period, God gave them a social or human government. He told them to govern one another. In each and every one of these dispensations, man disobeyed God. And you know, I've heard people say before, well, why did God put the tree there if he didn't want them to eat it? God has always given man a free will to choose him. He's given them that. God does not say who is and who isn't. And I know that there's some that teach that today, but that is not scriptural at all. And they take verses out of context to teach it. God does not pick and choose who's saved. He gives everyone a free will. Now, he'll send the Holy Spirit to convict that person, and without the Holy Spirit, there will be no salvation. But God sends that Holy Spirit, but he gives every person, I believe, that opportunity. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, if that is the will of God, then every person saved based on that doctrine. based on the doctrine, the Calvinistic doctrine of God chooses who is and who won't. That verse flat out says that it's God's will that no one should perish. And so, you know, there's many other verses, but that's a good one right there. And if that's the case, then everybody's saved. But that's not the case. It's His will for everyone to be saved, but that doesn't mean everybody will be saved. And if you remember the day you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God convicted your heart, and you stepped forward and you accepted Him as your Savior. You believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth, all the stuff the verse talks about doing, believe by faith. God even gives you the faith to be saved. He does those things for you. And so different things happen through here. So He gave you that conscience and told them to govern one another. And then there's a dispensation of promise. And this is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He promised them a land. And again, they disobeyed God. Every single time period that we're looking at throughout the Bible here, and what we're doing is essentially going from Revelation, or from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and showing how God dealt differently with man throughout the history of the Bible up through today into the new kingdom and the new heaven and new earth. And every dispensation begins with the grace of God. And I thank the Lord for His grace. In every single dispensation, we find the grace and mercy of God. And we find in every single one, faith. There is faith. You have to have faith in every single one of them. Whatever plan that God has for man from beginning all the way to end, faith is involved in every bit of it. And so, but everyone ends with man's disobedience, and the next one begins with God's grace and His mercy, another opportunity. So the one we're talking about now is law. God gives a contract to the nation of Israel when He gives them this law. And we looked at it last week in Exodus chapter number 19, verse 3 through 8, where the law was given to Moses, and Moses said, I'll go down and I will give this law to the people. And so he did that. He went down there and told the nation of Israel. He said, this is a contract that God has written out for us. And He said that if we obey this, then He's going to do all these things He told us He would do. But only if we obey this. And they said, what did they say? We will do it. They agreed to it. They signed off on it. And as we know, they could not keep the law. They did not keep it. And they did not keep up their part of it. So in this law, there was faith. Again, there's faith throughout the whole way through. But there was an element of works here that they had to do in order to keep this law. Look at Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9. And there's a lot of other verses that go with this, and it's a lot deeper study. We're skimming the surface going through here. And one of these days eventually, and especially if we get into a Bible Institute setting, we'll go a lot deeper in all these things. But this is just kind of skimming the surface. And I started this and wanted to go over it to try to help folks that when they're reading through their Bible and they're reading over Matthew 24, or they're reading over in the book of Hebrews or in James chapter 1 and James chapter 2, and they're just struggling with saying, well, am I saved or am I not saved? Do I have eternal security? Do I have to have works with my faith in order to be saved? And there's confusion there. But if you understand the Bible and how it's laid out and what time period we belong in and what books of the Bible are written to us doctrinally, then we don't have to fear some of those other things. And we can get into more deep study later on. But Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 31. And also when you start getting into this, I'm about to read this, but when you start understanding the timeline and different times in which God dealt with people, then it's a lot easier to understand some of the doctrines that have changed throughout Bible. Because there's some doctrines that were so back when Jesus Christ was on the earth. He gave His disciples the power and apostles the power to heal people. Well, we don't have that today. Benny Hinn can't cure anything, no matter how hard he tries. He can't. He's a fraud. And there's others that are like him. Those things, those were a sign of the kingdom to come. They were. And then after Jesus Christ died and He went to heaven and He sent the Holy Spirit down to live in us, now we're saved by grace through faith. We don't have to have a sign. The Bible said the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. So the Jews had to, there's a reason. Tongues in the Bible, the healings, Those different things were signs that God gave to those individuals to help the Jews believe that he was the Messiah. They served a purpose, and now they don't they don't exist anymore as far as in the age that we live in. Paul even said tongues will cease. He said there's coming a time where it will, because they're not needed anymore. And we live in that time frame. So you've got so many different religions, so many different beliefs, and all these different things, and there's so much confusion. It's because people don't rightly divide the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself, to prove unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's what we're trying to do as we go through here. All right, Romans chapter 9, verse number 31. The Bible says, But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And so they lacked the faith. They lacked the faith. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, faith has been involved from the very beginning. Adam and Eve in the garden, God told them, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and everything's going to be good. There's a faith and a trust in God there. And man struggles with trusting God. They struggle with having faith in God. Talk about doubting Thomas. I mean, he was doubting there, and because he wanted to stick his hands in Jesus' side, and he was able to do that. And he said, okay, now I believe. Well, we can't do that, but we believe by faith. We believe by faith. And that faith was something that the nation of Israel struggled with throughout their existence. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 24. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness. We're talking about if keeping these statutes. It'll be their righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. And again, there's a lot of other verses on this subject, but we're just giving a couple. Numbers chapter number 9. When they failed to keep the law, when they failed to do what God instructed them to do, whether it was by faith that they failed or by the works that they failed, they were to shed blood of animals in order to be right with God. Numbers chapter 9, verse number 13. Again, there's other verses on this also, but I'm just giving the, what do they call, the icing on top of the cake? I don't even like icing. I usually scrape it off and give it to one of the kids. But don't tell Miss Sarah that. All right, Numbers chapter 9 and verse number 13. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his what? His sin. He could not get that sin taken care of there. And again, this bloodshed of animals did not completely do away with it. Jesus Christ is the one that abolished sin. But this is what they had to do, is have the shed blood of animals to in order to be right with God. For the wages of sin is death. It's been that way since Genesis 1:1, back in the beginning. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned against God, the Bible said that God made them what? What did God make them? Coats of skin. Where did he get the skin from? An animal had to die. And we go all the way through there. Whenever Cain and Abel brought their offering before the Lord, Abel brought the offering of his flock, which is what God required, the killing of an animal, the bloodshed of an animal. And Cain brought his turnip greens and squash or whatever else he brought there, and he tried to offer those up before the Lord, and he said, no, you can't. You know, that's where there's a song a group sings called, "You Can't Get Blood from a Turnip, No Matter How Hard You Try." You can't do it. You can't get blood from a turnip, no matter how hard you try. It's just not happening. All right, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 3. So I made this statement, and here's the verse to back it, that whenever they would not keep the law, and whether it was an issue with their faith or whether it was an issue with works, they had to have the bloodshed of animals to, in order for them to be right with God. They were forgiven based on that bloodshed of animals, but their sins were not taken away. Their sins could not be taken away until Jesus Christ died on the cross. Romans 8:3. Romans 8:3, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And Jesus Christ came, and he was that ultimate sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So you said, okay, well, what was man's disobedience in the dispensation or age of law? And it was, they did not keep the law. We read over there in Romans chapter number 9 that they struggled with faith. And then there's other places where we see that they struggled not keeping the law. They did not keep their part of the contract. Look at, you're there in Romans, look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter number 9. Every dispensation begins with the grace of God. It ends in man's disobedience and God's judgment. Romans chapter 9, look at verse number 31. The Bible says, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it..." That's the verse I read earlier, isn't it? Hold on. Yeah, that's right. I got that verse in there twice. All right, I don't know where I messed up in my notes. This happens sometimes. All right, look at Romans chapter 8. That's where I'm going. Romans 8. I'm looking at the wrong one. Romans 8, verse 3. Yes, this is it. I read Romans 8, 3, but I did not read verse 4. So I'm going to read verse 3 again. "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And you don't have to turn there, but if you want to, write it down if you're taking notes. But Isaiah 53, verse 10 through 12 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercessor for the transgressors." Jesus Christ, he was the judgment for our sin. He became the judgment for our sin. I mean, you think about every sin that you've ever committed, and you think about any sin you might ever do or done in the past for the whole entire world, and back here, all the sin from Adam and Eve all the way through there, and Jesus Christ became the judgment for all that sin that was placed on him. So man disobeyed, and Jesus Christ took the punishment for it, and he died on the cross of Calvary, and he took our place. So you say, what was God's judgment at the end of the end of the law? It was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the judgment. So next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the ministry of Israel. And this dispensation is, I don't know where my pointer is. Is my pointer back there? I don't need it right now, but let's get it back up here for later. So the dispensation of the law, it doesn't end until the cross of Calvary, when Jesus Christ dies on the cross. The middle wall of partition is broken down. But something changes, even though underneath Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, they're still under the law. But there's something that changes I believe the verse says over in, I got to find out where it's at, but it says, until the law and that up until now, it's been the law and prophets, but now Jesus Christ comes on the scene, the disciples, the apostles, and now he begins to preach about a kingdom to come. And this is where you find the miracles taking place, and the they're giving them a taste of what that kingdom's going to be like. And so Jesus Christ shows up. So there's another change that takes place, even though they're still under the dispensation of the law. And so we'll start looking at that, Lord willing, next week. All right, let's all stand. Yes, it's Luke 16:16. It says, the law and the prophets were until John. So all the way up till that point, it was just the law and prophets. Well, now you've got something else. John the Baptist comes out, and he's that wild-haired, crazy man coming out of the wilderness that God can use. Amen, Brother Philip. And I'm saying that for